It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in. It's the last couple segments of the program this evening. Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell. Scott, former NFL QB, also quarterback of the University of Utah.
So, Alex.
Holds all those records up there. Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised, by the way, and I got a lot of people going, Scott put himself as the number three quarterback of all time at Utah?
Oh, I wouldn't put myself there.
Oh. You're saying you know what the...
I just know what people will say.
Oh, okay.
Because they don't acknowledge things past the Mountain West. Like, look at everything. It's like football didn't exist at Utah before,
right.
Before that
sure,
era.
Sure, 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 sure.
Can I just go back to our last segment for a second?
Yes.
Do you know why I'm doing this with the Utah Jazz?
The last segment, by the way, yes. Scott trolled the BYU fan group by telling them that
trolling's a harsh word. I actually had empathy. Like, I think it would be really hard to be in that situation.
Yeah, be a BYU fan right now.
Where if you're a fan of anything, like
Scott, but you know how it is. A coaching change does make changes quickly in a lot of cases.
It may very well be.
Look, Bronco was a very serviceable head coach at BYU. And people miss Broncos.
They
miss Broncos wins.
But it was pre-independence.
No, his go was mostly, I think, judging that independence era. Now, it wasn't full independence like we've seen, which is the heavy
right.
Power Fives and schedules, and then... kind of some weird home schedule. It was a little different. But yeah, I think that people look and they go, I don't care who it is, but people felt a lot better about averaging 8.5 wins a year than the current pace that they're at, which is Kalani is in the last four seasons. Four? Well, either way. Yeah, four. Mm-hmm. This is fourth year.
Yep.
Under 500 now for his time
for
at
his
BYU.
Old time.
Two games under the 500 mark. And that is, I mean, that sounds crazy that you're going to see on a record book that a coach, it would be, if he were to lose his job after BYU goes, doesn't make bowl eligibility, that he would be, have a losing record overall as a coach, like for 4 years. Yeah, I was there during the Gary Croton years. And it felt different because it was so close to the Lavelle era,
right,
that I think people refused to believe that the administration or anybody above, I think people they harshly criticized Val Hale, as the athletic director at BYU after the Gary Croton stuff. But everybody had the whole administration was so close to this beautiful era, right, of Lavelle Edwards, but we're so far from that now. And I think that, yeah, I mean, it's hard to watch because nobody has answers. That's the other thing. I don't care who you are. I don't care what we do professionals in our career. We talk on the radio about sports.
Oh, I got answers there.
No, you don't.
Of course I do. I do.
What is the answer then?
I said it on the radio last night. Here's the answer.
He's winning football games.
No.
Is that what it's going
to
be?
No, I think you have to be all in across the board, and everyone
but
has
all
to be
in
on.
For what does that mean? All in? So, you think these players aren't willing to win?
I don't.
You think this coaching staff isn't dying to win because they know that their livelihood's on the line?
I
think Tom Homo isn't begging for independence to work because it is his legacy?
No, I don't think they are. I think they're just tolerating it because they have to. I think that this program actually, if they would own independence, because I don't think they own it, I think they want so bad to get into a conference to do something, because I don't think anyone's bought into them being independent. Because there's no there, you know. Jeremiah kind of brought it up. He says there's no identity to this team.
Yeah.
And you have to have that vision. And there is no vision for BYU football. And I've said this for years. If you're going to be independent, own it and just say, look, we are going to play for a national championship because we play in every conference, and we're looking for players that want excellence in every aspect of their life. And I would not run from the honor code. I would embrace it. I would embrace the uniqueness of BYU, and I would own independence. So and I don't hear that, and I haven't heard that from anyone there. I just hear of, it's hard to recruit, and we got this honor code and all this stuff. And it's like they need someone to step in there and just lead the charge on this and say, no, we're going
to
do this.
You're the first person I've told this to. The only person who knows about this story is me. My brother, who lives in Orlando, who came to Tampa to, kind of high-five me, and he came with my nephew.
Right.
And to watch BYU. He's like, hey, I'll watch BYU. He's not a BYU fan, but he's like, I'll come watch. Let's see this team. And they came to the fan fest, right? And I was there shooting stuff for social media and everything. And I said, there's the president of the university. There's the president of BYU. President Worthen, let's go over and chat with him because my nephew wants to go to BYU. I said, there's a guy to ask about it. Why don't you ask him? And he's nervous. And I said, no, let's walk up. I said, President Worthen, this is my nephew. And this is my brother. And I know that some of the academics and things like that have been not changed in terms of a standard, but some of the admissions have been looked at differently. He went into this whole thing, and he asked my nephew all these questions. And he said, it's so important now that you don't just say, here are all my grades. He goes, academics are huge, right? He goes, but I want you to focus. What's the thing that you love to do? What's the thing that you're the best at? What's the thing that, like, you're so passionate about? There might not be anybody within 100 miles that is as passionate about this thing as you are. And explain it to the SAA board, because those people don't. He said, an academic group looks at your academics, and then a totally they don't look at your academics at all. A group looks at your essays, and they recommend your admission or not without seeing your academics. And I thought that was great, because it's a change. Because there was a certain type of student that was getting into BYU previously.
Right.
And I thought to myself, what a better way to look at it, to get better,
I love that.
More talented people in. And I thought, why can't the school be like this? This is a conversation that the president of the university had with a kid who wants to go to the school. Now, put him as an athlete. Put him as a guy trying to get into school. Okay, what's the thing you're best at on the football field? What makes you better than anybody? Because I want you here because we want you to be a champion. I mean, that's...
So...
And have somebody blindly look at that, and have somebody look at the academics, and have those two things meet and say, where can we make this happen?
So why in the world do you say then there isn't a solution and we don't know what the solution is?
Because I say that and it sounds great, and then they go, that's the worst solution we've ever heard, or I don't know. Or does that mean that actually better football players end up getting in?
Don't you think people are more successful in life because
Sure.
Because they're passionate? Because I was the class clown,
and my teachers are like, you'll never make it. Right?
Yeah, but that's not what you thought. And why do we enjoy doing this show? I mean, like from day one, this hasn't been work.
Right.
And what is it?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I think it's because we're passionate about what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do a good job. We have a conviction about how we see sports and how we see life, and I believe that comes through with people, and I think it resonates with people.
I just hope that they really, really take – we sat down. So the other thing I did was I said, hey, go – I told my nephew, I go, hey, talk to those cheerleaders, man. And so we sat down with the cheerleaders, and I asked them, I said, how did you guys get in? And one of the girls who was there was like, I got in when it was like really hard. And these other girls were like, I did not think I was going to get in. But I was passionate about X, Y, and Z. I was the most service-oriented kid in my community and blah, blah, blah. And they were like surprised. I was surprised I got in. I couldn't believe it. I was overjoyed. And I thought, wow, what? I hope that football players are doing that now. I did not think I was going to get in. But I'm the best dang football player in my state. Because you know what? Those cheerleaders, guarantee. It was like Idaho, Texas, California, girl from Park City. And I guarantee I was thinking. And I told my nephew, I go, guarantee those were the best cheerleaders in their community by far. And they didn't think they were going to be good enough to get into BYU. And there they are. I don't even know what we just talked about.
I don't either.
It's pretty fascinating.
It was
though.
Good,
like,
though.
But President Worthen, like, I thought, I really liked the way he put it. And I thought, well, then why does it feel different?
I believe that people are more successful when they're passionate about what they do.
Let's take the break here. We'll come back. Final segment of the program. 2 Minute Drill next on KSL's Unrivaled.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.